far away from a fundamental change in philosophy about the Buccaneers. Big, big package.
Bucks fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. And Ira, all of a sudden, this podcast has become extra world famous. We can talk about that a little bit later. But the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. That's Ira. He is back to, sounds like he's 93.8% health, which is great. The Sage is on the rebound. He's had his big anniversary night, his big night out as well, 42 years with his lovely bride, and that's only about 20 years shy of how long Bill Curry Ford has been taking care of drivers all across the Tampa Bay area. Bill Curry Ford, family owned, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Northdale Mabry on the east side. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start shopping for a vehicle. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles. They've got $500 for you if you order a vehicle online through their concierge custom ordering service. It's so easy. No deposit required. 10-year roadside assistance. You get priorities. Pick your color, your trim, whatever you want. BillCurryFord.com. Tons of great Black Friday specials right now, Ira. There's 600 vehicles on the lot, so plenty of inventory to look through, and you can just check out all those Black Friday specials at BillCurryFord.com. Different 0% financing offers, 2.9% offers on different vehicles, so many cool things, rebates, BillCurryFord.com. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasElitereStoration.com. They're your first call in any disaster, water, flood, fire, mold, whatever's going on in your home, storm damage. Get to their website, FloridasElitereStoration.com, and check it out so you know who to call when that disaster strikes and you need someone you can trust, another family-owned business. We'll talk more about them later. And Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Great time now, Ira, to start thinking of those holiday gifts, what you might be bringing to Thanksgiving. And that actually could be Big Storm Spirits. And go to BigStormDistillery.com. They'll ship it out to you, or you can see what they have and head out to the tap rooms, pick them up. BigStormBrewery.com. But don't forget BigStormDistillery.com. And Sage, this is top shelf stuff. This isn't like whatever that stuff you mix a daiquiri with once a year.
Steve, I'm in a very good mood. I'm in a bubbly mood. And I use that word specifically. I am in a bubbly mood, and I'll tell you why. Well, guys, my wife's been talking about a hot tub. Let's get a hot tub. Because when we go to a brother's house in Palm Coast, he's got one, and it feels good on her back with the jets and everything. Okay. So I've been looking at them. Well, about 3 days ago, a giant package shows up at the front door. Big, big package. Well, I was out doing some shopping. I get home. My wife says, I didn't know you were buying a hot tub. I said, I didn't. We look at the package. Oh, yeah, Steve. Our son in Ohio, our pride and joy, our only one, with his own money, coughed up with shipping and sent us a hot tub. I haven't sent it up yet. I can just see Lee trying to picture me with those jets and the bubbles. Oh, my God. Cosmo jumping in. But it's not set up yet, Lee. But once it is, I'm going to invite you boys over for a nice little soak.
Does Cosmo like your pool?
No, he won't go near it. Won't go near it.
Wait.
He will not go in the pool, Lee.
Wait, wow. Ira, I got a lot of questions. Lee, go ahead.
No, I just made a reference. I thought dogs like pools. That's a little surprising.
Usually they do, Lee, especially a Boston Terrier. Because, my wife grew up with the whole family had Boston Terriers. And they love the water. Not this one. If I want to get them in there, I got to pick them up and kind of throw them in, which I have done because I want to make sure that if he ever falls in, he can get out. So normally, Lee, he wants nothing to do with that pool.
All right, so now we learn that you torture your dog who's afraid of water. You throw him in the pool just to toughen him up. Okay. All right, so wait a minute. So you get home and there's a hot tub at the front door, like a piece of mail. Is this coming in a box? And what are you, like, carrying it inside somehow? Or, using a shovel? What is going on?
It is an inflatable. It's an inflatable.
Oh.
You know, they're close to $1,000, I think. Now, of course, you know, the fancy ones are 10 grand, 15 grand. It's the same kind that my son has in Ohio, and he says it works fine. So, you know me, Steve. I'm lucky if I can put a screw in the wall. I don't know if I can set this thing up. It's supposed to be very easy with the setup. It's going to be 104 degrees. Lee, when you see me Sunday at the Bucks game, I could be all wrinkly. All wrinkly by Sunday.
Okay, now I understand. I've seen those for sale. Yeah, the good ones are probably, depending on how big you got there, a good one's probably $500-$600. Very nice. Very nice.
What a surprise that was. What a surprise.
I got a bad picture in my head, Ira, that you and your wife are in that hot tub in a quiet moment in a spring evening, and Cosmo chews a hole in it.
That's outstanding, Lee. That is outstanding. And the water goes all over the patio, right?
Yep.
Lee, all over the patio.
And there you go. Oh, and there you go. You call Florida's Elite Restoration. You're all set. That's it. You got a flood.
I got to guard against mold, Steve. Can't have any mold. Got to call Florida's Elite Restoration.
All right, Sage, let's get to the Bucks here. And I have to say, I did hear that you invited me and Lee over for a soak. And we're just going to turn you down now. Nobody needs to see that. We don't need to be hanging out in a hot tub. We don't need that.
Well, what if I get Jason Light aboard and we can talk about draft strategy? Now I might have.
you should invite him for a soak just to see if he shows up. That'd be hilarious.
We got to talk about this 3-5 football game.
All right, Ira, look, we got a game on Sunday. Our last podcast, if anybody didn't listen, shame on you, but it's really a timeless podcast. Ira diving into the state of the Buccaneers and much more with us. That's at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Podbean, all kinds of places, and at joebucksfan.com. Ira, look, $1 this week. Dave Canales was talking on Thursday, Baker Mayfield and Todd Bowles on Wednesday. Did you have a broad takeaway from what you're hearing, seeing, feeling?
I did, and I think the theme generated out of $1 place, predictably, is nobody's pointing fingers. We're all in this together. Long way to go. Division, within our grasp. If we get our jobs done, and we haven't lost any confidence, Lee, I'd like to believe all of that, but it strains credulity, in my opinion. Not only the 4 losses in a row, the 5 out of 6, Lee, but the way it's happening. The Atlanta game was just abominable. The Houston game was even worse, and now they maybe can't even count on the defense. And a lot of Buck fans, Lee, you read the comments. They're questioning whether Bowles is even a good defensive coach. I think that's crazy. I think that's nuts. I mean, he's got a long track record of being very good, coaching defense. Now, head coach is a whole nother matter. And we've talked about that, and we'll continue to talk about it. But I think they've lost something. I think they've lost a little edge. I think they've lost a little passion, a little confidence. I'm not saying it's, pointing fingers time. I don't think it is. But I think these losses have taken something out of this football team. They say all the right things, but I don't think it's easy to recover from what they've been through this past month. I think they've been brought down to earth with a thud. Lee, I said it again a month ago. I'll say it again. Losing to the Eagles is one thing. Okay, they're back. Okay, they beat us. But Lee, some of these other losses, you walk away saying, how the hell did they lose that game? And I think cumulatively, it's taken a big toll on this team. I'm not sure they can overcome it.
The narrative was the offense let the defense down. The offense, even though they had their best point output of the season, if they would have just had one more field goal and limit the punts, we wouldn't be screaming about the defense. And, Canales said we punted too much to open the second half. I checked it when I got home, and the official game book shows the Bucks only punted twice in the second half. And the first two times the Bucks had the ball in the second half, they got field goals. So I don't know what Canales is talking about, unless he's falling on his sword to, I'll stick up for you guys. I got your cover. Don't worry. I mean, it's noble, but it's inaccurate. And here's something. I was talking with a couple people, a couple media brethren while I was out there. they sort of agreed with what I said, and I don't know what the answer is. And what I said was, there's something deeper going on with this defense. Now, Jenna Lane dug up the stats. I don't have the stats in front of me, but when the Bucks play this zone defense, they're terrible. They're utterly terrible. But when they play man press, they're very good. And we've heard Bowles say, well, he's not playing Dean and Davis in man press. He's using the zone because basically he's got to cover for guys that can't play man press. He doesn't identify those guys, but who else is in the secondary? Is he calling out Winfield? I doubt that. Is he calling out Ryan Neal? Possibly. Is he calling out Christian Eisen? Maybe. But why are you taking two of your best players, two of your most expensive players, and diluting their play by having them play in a defense where they don't excel to cover for lesser players? That doesn't add up. That's number one. Number two, there is such a thing as a basketball terms of matchup defense. Some guys play man, some guys play zone. You play to whatever their strengths are. So it doesn't add up, and the people I spoke with, they sort of agree with me. There's something deeper going on that obviously Bowles won't address or hasn't addressed. It's got to be more than just Davis and Dean are covering for a couple lesser teammates. That doesn't make sense. And point B is, and a reader brought this up to me, how much do the Bucks miss Sue and JPP and their attitudes?
A ton, an absolute ton. And, Steve, I think one of the things that we've noticed, and I don't have the stats right in front of me, Steve, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. Bowles is blitzing starting last year and now a half a year, so now it's a year and a half, Steve. He's blitzing a lot less than he did his first few years in Tampa when he had a heck of a defense. Now, he doesn't have JPP and he doesn't have Sue, and I understand that. But, Steve, judging by what I saw from that pass rush, and not necessarily the sacks, but the pressures, I think he's got to go back to his old ways, Steve. I think he's got to blitz extensively with a rookie quarterback coming to town. And, you know, the blitz can help you in run support, too, Lee. It's not just for pass rush. Let Winfield blitz. Let White blitz. Levante's not a bad blitzer. I don't think they can do it with the standard four-man rush, Lee. I don't have a lot of confidence in that. Not with this group. Not with Tryon. Not with Logan Hall. He plays. Steve, they got to get back to their blitzing ways, because that was a big, big part of what made Todd Bowles' defense so effective.
Sure. A couple of things here haven't really been talked about. Lee brought it up. Wants to get a little more X's and O's or delve into some things. We'll go there. So back in 2019, Ira, your good buddy there, Nick Rapone, safeties coach, he said something a little crazy. He said that MJ Stewart is the guy he's looking at nickel, and he sort of compared MJ Stewart to Tyrann Mathieu. How he was going to be able to blitz. And he went into this whole rant and he talked about how the defense is built to have their number one, quote, number one person that blitzes is the nickel in our system. And what's happened here is now is Izian is not a blitzer. And I think they've realized that he's just not good at it, and they don't have him doing it, and they don't have a nickel to blitz like they've had before. They moved down Winfield last year a bit. It didn't work out overall. We know what happened there. And what Todd Bowles said on the Buccaneers radio network, he sort of gave a roundabout explanation that teams are now completely scheming for Devin White to blitz, and they're waiting for him. They're waiting for him. So that's why Levante David has been blitzing more this year, because if they're waiting for White, you know, it's not that good. He has to be more selective when he blitzes him. And of course, Bowles thought that Vita Vea would be this monster pass rusher that he was last year. It hasn't been the same. And Shaq's not back. He's not bad. He's the best they got, but he's not back. And Joe Tryon Cheyenka stinks. And you know, they're just figuring out what Kansi actually has. So, I mean, it's not good, but I think it comes back to they don't have the manpower that they're looking for to blitz the way they want to.
That's a fair point, Lee. Maybe they can use Winfield a little bit more as a blitzer. Maybe. I think he's pretty good at it.
He's very good at it. Well, here's something else that I think there's a fundamental problem with this defense, and I thank Steve for enlightening us with some of those tidbits. Ira, Foles is on a 4-game losing streak with rookie quarterbacks. And the numbers these rookie quarterbacks are putting up against Foles' defense, it's appalling. You would think it's Mike Smith's defense. I mean, it's absolutely appalling. Here's some numbers for you. In his 4-game losing streak to rookies, in these 4 games, rookies have completed 76 completions on 111 attempts. That's 68%. Rookies, 68% for 946 yards. Here's where it gets uglier. These 4 rookies, Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Purdy, and of course last week Stroud, these 4 rookies have thrown a total of 10 touchdowns with 0 picks against the Bucs.
That's hard to believe, Lee. That is hard to believe.
There's a fundamental problem if rookies are putting up those kind of numbers on your defense.
You know, and Lee, Ridder just lost his job. Probably not going to get it back. May never get it back again. He may never start again for the Falcons. Purdy's struggling, you know, but he's got a pretty good track record, but he's struggling right now. And Pickett is below average. We don't know. And Stroud looks great at this point. Mm-hmm. Boy, Lee, 10 touchdowns and 0 picks against rookie quarterbacks.
They faced rookies, 0 picks, 10 touchdowns.
You know, and Steve, as far as what Canales said about the offense let the team down, I don't really think he believes it. I think it's something that he felt, you know, I'm going to be a team guy, and I'm going to say it. Steve, they scored 37 points, and the other side had a rookie quarterback and no running game. And the Bucs scored 37 points and didn't win the game. I don't see where Canales has to apologize for a damn thing about last Sunday.
I think that comes back to just the message that he gave to the offense this week was, hey, you know what? As well as we played, we left way too many points on the field, and the defense has been covering our ass all year, and we needed to cover their ass in this game and do better, and we didn't pull it off. And I think that's really what he was saying, but anybody who knows football knows, hey, you scored 37 points without a defensive touchdown. You didn't let anybody down.
Yeah, you know, it's premature. Some Buck fans think the season's over. It's premature, but I'm telling you what's not premature, Lee. We got about 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And Lee, if we're doing this podcast and they're 3-7, I'm gonna plant my flag right then and there. You better start playing young guys. I wanna see Diaby out there, 75% of the snaps. I might wanna see Kyle Trask out there. We're not that far away from a fundamental change in philosophy about the Buccaneers.
I would argue that Diaby ought to be starting no matter the record. I mean, I think the world of Joe Tryon as a person, great guy, but gosh darn it, he's just not getting the job done for whatever reason. He's had 3 different position coaches. It's almost 3 full years, 2.5, and I don't think he's improved at all as a rookie. I really don't. And it's time. I think Yaya's a more physical player. I think he can get heat on a quarterback just as well as Tryon. That's not saying anything, but I think you got a higher ceiling with Yaya. I think we know what the Bucs have in Tryon, and it's nothing. So I think Diaby needs to get out there.
Ira, I'm going to put your feet to the fire. Is that okay?
They're almost always there on this podcast, Steve. Almost always. Right.
Not in the hot tub. Not in the hot tub, but in the fire. Look, you just said if they lose 2 more, which is Sunday against the Titans, and then in San Francisco against a slumping San Francisco team that's lost 3 in a row, if they lose 4 in a row, if they lose again 4 in a row, you may see Sam Darnold against the Bucs, as the 49ers would be reeling, and there's some chatter about that. So something to keep in mind. Anyway, if the Bucs do lose these next 2 games, you're calling for a fundamental change in approach. You want to see young players out there, whatever you want to see, you know, you want to see big changes and a different approach to a 3-7 loss season. If they go 3-7, Ira, are you going to call for Todd Bowles to be fired at the end of the season?
No, I'm going to wait till to see if they have a losing season. If they have a losing season, Bowles won't be back, and I wouldn't bring him back.
If they lose game number 9, you are going to get up on your keyboard and have some strong thoughts for us?
I've done it before, including the general manager. I've done it before. By the way, guys, and we got to throw this out there too. Lee, the secondary's in shambles. What has happened to the secondary? Winfield's a stud, and I don't know. I think it kind of ends right there. I can't say anything about Jamel Dean at this point. Preseason predictions, Lee, I thought Jamel Dean was going to, you know, emerge as a heck of a corner. It hasn't happened. Carlton Davis, can you have a couple of picks? Can I get three or four picks out of these guys? We're not talking about Ryan Neal. Let's not even discuss it. It looks like the Lee, it looks like the decision to let Jordan Whitehead go to the Jets, where he's part of an excellent defense, might be looked at as a mistake in hindsight. Packaging Whitehead and Winfield would be a nice safety tandem. They don't have it. They miss him right now. Lee, the secondary needs help.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about Whitehead. You're not alone, Ira. Other people said that about Whitehead. Sunday morning, the game in Frankfurt, people were going bananas. Why did the Bucks let Mike Edwards go? Mike Edwards is a part-time starter. They were just to break the bank to keep Mike Edwards. Come on now.
He hasn't done anything at Kansas City. He hasn't done anything.
Had a very, very nice play Sunday morning where didn't he flip the ball back on a pick? And they still
Yeah, it was a fumble. He flipped the ball back, but he didn't cause the fumble.
They were supposed to break the bank to keep him, really? But with the Whitehead, if they kept Whitehead, would they have been able to afford to keep Levante David?
Well, if that was the case, then I would understand it. Yeah. But there's so many ways to maneuver the cap, Steve. There's so many ways. And I hate to let a good young player go. I don't like that.
Well, the Edwards thing is interesting because he only got $3 million from the Chiefs. So not a lot of money. I think Ryan Neal's making about half that. And they've been pinching pennies. But, you know, Edwards is looks a lot better than Ryan Neal, who seems to be just a complete mistake. I mean, the guy made one play all year, a run stuff on fourth down against the Bears, and then I think he disappeared after that completely. I don't know. He's just I get the feeling that he doesn't get the defense. Like, he doesn't understand it, or he's just a step – he doesn't have his instincts in this defense, and it's exposing his lack of athleticism.
I can see it, Steve. I see what you mean. In the words of DeKemper, this game scares me. This game scares me. I think Vrabel's a pretty good coach, Lee. I think he's a pretty good coach.
He's a typical defensive coach. Keep it close, you know, stop the run, that kind of stuff.
They're not overwhelmed with talent, Lee. They're not, Tennessee. You know, they got a sledgehammer in the backfield. They got, you know, a potential Hall of Famer at wide receiver. Kind of a parallel careers to Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans might be a little better resume than Hopkins. A little better.
I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he's not the Hopkins we think of that played with Houston.
No, he's not. Steve, they go 3-6. I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say.
Well, you'll have a lot to say right here on this podcast, Ira. What are you talking about? I mean, they got to win this game. This is a must-win game because forget about the records or everything else. If you lose this game, you suck. It's official. I mean, that's it. If you lose to the Titans at home with a rookie quarterback at home with everything on the line, you suck. So that's just fact. And if you go to 3-6 like that, 5-game losing streak. So, you know, if you want to really show who you are, you got to beat this team.
You know, Lee, it's something we're going to talk about from now till forever. But you got to embark on a new journey with a new face of the franchise. Who's the face of this franchise? I mean, Tristan Wirfs? That doesn't sell any tickets. And, Lee, I disagree with you. I don't disagree in terms of maybe the financials where you make all your money from the TV contracts. I'm not arguing that point. But, Lee, I think fannies in the seats matter. I think it matters to the Glazers. They don't want to go back to the dark ages. And we all lived through it. Irrelevancy, you know, one primetime game. I don't think they're comfortable with that after having a taste of the Super Bowl. So, Steve, the big questions continue to linger over this franchise. Where are they going? You know, are you going to be happy with 8-9 and maybe a division title? Is that good enough?
I got to throw this at you. I know you've said this before. You got to get that quarterback. You got to get that guy. And that's just the reality and all that stuff. Let me throw this to you, okay? Let's just say they get through this season and they're, let's say they're 7-10. And, you know, there's some issues, whatever. And let's just pretend for a minute that everybody doesn't want to kick Todd Bowles into the curb and send him to Michigan, okay? Baker Mayfield, he's not playing that badly. So my question to you is, Ira, what would this team's record be right now if they had a freaking top-shelf running back? What would they be 5-3 without any question with a top-shelf running back? I mean, you know, a running back can make a tremendous, tremendous amount of difference if you have a decent quarterback. And my issue, Ira, is I know what you're saying about getting the guy, but if Mayfield plays well through this season, I have a hard time, after being a Bucs fan for a long time, I have a hard time throwing a good quarterback out the door because, you know, you're going to hope that a first-round pick that's a 50-50 shot actually makes it.
Lee, is it too much to ask Jason Light to pick the right quarterback and go get him? Other people do it. Go do it. You've never done it. He's never done it. He's also never picked an edge rusher that's worth a damn.
How about other general managers?
I mean, he's not alone in that, but they need a face of that franchise to excite this fan base. If they go 7-10, I don't think you can make that argument about Baker Mayfield. He's not playing bad, but I think his ceiling, Lee, it's not a high ceiling for Mayfield. It's not high. You know, it's not like, hey, 2 years from now, this guy could be elite. I don't think anybody looks at him that way. And they don't have enough talent around him where, you know, he doesn't have to carry this team a little bit. So you got to get a quarterback. And I'm not talking about Kirk Cousins. You got to go get your guy and hit on him. Hit on him, especially in 24.
Mayfield, for example, what Steve is saying, he's not wrong. Mayfield's on pace to have his best season of his career, believe it or not, in a run-based offense. He's on pace for 4,000 yards. He's never thrown for 4,000 yards. I think 3,800 was his best season. So that's kind of wild. You're in a run-based offense, and he's having his best season throwing the ball. But I see your point, Ira. I don't argue. I don't disagree with it because if not the draft of 2024, then when? Because there's so many quarterbacks coming out. So if you don't go out and get one next year, your next best bet to get a quarterback is you're going to have to lose 14, 15 games. And nobody wants
great point,
to say
that. Great point, Lee. Nobody's saying that the class of 25, Steve, is going to be nearly as good as this upcoming class. And I'm not willing to sit it out. I'm just not.
Just because you add that guy doesn't mean you can't have a veteran in here. It all depends how you want to do it. I don't know. I just think, man, if Mayfield has, if he continues on this season and has a good season in what is a very difficult situation with no freaking running game, and no tight ends that are special, and no, obviously he's got the two receivers, but he has next to nothing after that. Man, it's hard to give up on the guy. That's all I'm saying is, Ira, I'd love to see what this team looks like with a running back. And you mentioned Jason Light hasn't drafted the defensive end. He didn't hit on the quarterback, although he was kind of stuck there. Ownership wanted a quarterback, and he took the best of the two that were available. But he hasn't drafted a running back either.
Real quick, Steve, to your quarterback point, you can do both. If Mayfield has a decent year, he's going to come relatively cheap, I'm going to guess. Keep him, because I don't think there's anyone that would argue if a rookie quarterback sits his first year, it's beneficial. Now, you know, it worked for Mahomes, didn't work for Jordan Love, you know, two different animals, I get it. But I don't think anybody would argue it's not a good thing for a rookie quarterback, no matter what you have invested in, to sit his rookie year. I don't think that's a bad deal. And keeping Mayfield, you know, that might be the smart thing to do. Keep Mayfield, he's playing well, but get that quarterback. Get that quarterback while you got a chance. And he's not rushed. You know, with Mayfield still around, he's not rushed. Now, does that freak out Mayfield? Does that chase him away? I don't know. They would sign Mayfield, would they not, before the draft? If they want to keep Mayfield, regardless of a drafting a quarterback or not, I would assume that they want to keep Mayfield, they'll re-sign him before the draft. That's my guess. So, I mean, will that freak out Mayfield? Do you have automatic quarterback controversy? No coach likes it. But I think it would be beneficial to have and keep Mayfield and have your rookie quarterback sit here. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
All right, so Ira, it's time to talk Sunday, and of course, we all want to enjoy the game with an ice cold Big Storm beer, maybe a Bromosa, which is their fantastic tangerine IPA, Sunny Key Lime, Wavemaker Amber Ale, so many legendary beers at bigstormbrewery.com. You can watch the games in Ybor City at the Central Ybor Tap Room, second floor. They got Bay Beer, $3 a draft. They got other specials. We'll post them up at joebucksfan.com. But follow Big Storm Ybor City on social media. They've got events, but check out the website, bigstormbrewery.com. All right, Ira, look, what are you looking for from the Bucks in this game? Tennessee, the problem with Derrick Henry, if, from our perspective, is he's had three good games in a row. He's on a roll. A lot of people thought, you know, maybe he's wearing out, you know, later in his career here, a lot of carries, but he's on a roll right now, and the team is energized by Will Levis, a second-round pick of a quarterback who I saw his first game. I mean, he looked like Dan Marino. He settled down a little bit last game, but clearly a talented guy. What are you thinking here, Ira?
I hate to say it, Steve. By the way, I'm struggling with my picks lately. The last 3 weeks, I picked the Bucks to beat Atlanta, and then I picked the Bucks to beat Houston. So I'm struggling a little bit. I'll start us off. And in the words of the Kemper, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think Tennessee's got enough to beat them. I just do. I don't trust the Bucks at home. It hasn't worked. Going to be a lot of empty seats at the Dennett Depression, Lee. I think Tennessee will do enough. I'm not sure they can rankle Will Levis. You had some great stats about how the Bucks are struggling against rookie quarterbacks. I don't expect them to throw for 450 yards, a la C.J. Stroud. But, Lee, I think Tennessee will do enough. 23-20, Titans.
Just for clarification, people of One Buck Palace, that was Ira Kaufman who uttered the phrase Denver Depression. Steve and I have kept our promise. We retired that term. That's very sensitive to people who have offices at One Buck Palace, Ira. Very sensitive.
So be it. It is now clarified.
I like the fact the offense broke out last week. That warms my heart. Would I put money on the Bucks to win? No. But something tells me they're going to find a way to win. They have to find a way to win. Otherwise, the entire conversation in the Tampa Bay area is going to be one thing. Who's the next coach? So I think the Bucks are going to find a way to turn the atmosphere around in the Tampa Bay market, that people will be talking playoffs again. New coach chatter will be put on hold. The Bucks will win by the skin of their teeth, 24-23.
All right, Ira, you ready for this?
You're the tiebreaker, Stevie.
All right, I'm the tiebreaker. I did pick the Texans last week. Fans didn't like that, but I did pick the Texans. Certainly wasn't the game I expected. I don't think anybody on the planet expected a game like that. But you know what, Ira, I'm going to take more of a gambler's approach here. The Titans are winless on the road this season, four-game losing streak on the road. They have not scored more than 16 points on the road this season. And back-to-back road games they're walking into right now with the Bucks. And, you know, I think talent ultimately usually wins out. And I think the Bucks are more talented overall. But, you know, Titans are a little scary with Derrick Henry and just the weird things happening with the Bucks defense. But I think the Bucks have enough to win soundly, Ira. I'm going to say that they can win this thing handily because I think the run defense will be good enough. They'll definitely be up for it and focused. And one of these days, Devin White is going to realize he's playing for a new contract and needs to go with his hair on fire. Maybe this is the day. But I think the Bucks will win this thing 24-14.
We can only hope that you are correct, Steve, and we have a upbeat, uplifting podcast next week. Lee and I will be at the game in attendance. First thing I do, of course, is check the Cuban sandwich tray, make sure it's full, Lee, before proceeding to my seat. Will any national people be there? Darlington shows up left and right. Can't believe it. For this big Titans-Bucks clash, Lee, you expecting any nationals in town?
I expect no nationals, none. This game is low rung on the national scale. You got two boring teams, two losing teams, two teams that are afterthoughts. There's no sizzle with this game at all, none. You'll see 15,000 empty seats Sunday.
I agree with Steve on that. Steve, you know who's in the broadcast booth? Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber's doing this game.
For sure, and which means he'll be dropping nuggets on the broadcast things that Rondé told him that nobody's supposed to know. So that's always fun. And I'll be monitoring his New York City show. Usually when he comes back from a road trip for calling a game, he drops some tidbits on there of things that he learned along the way. Tiki's been known for saying things that are off the record and putting them on the record. So we'll be all over that here. Ira, I just want to mention, this is a big game for Mike Evans. As I see it, where we've got 9 games remaining, Evans already has 594 yards. If he can get off in this game, and I think he can, you know, if he can get this thing up to get a 106-yard day and get it up to 700 yards with 8 games to go, that's nearly a lock for him to get that 1,000-yard season, which, you know, is a big deal. And I don't think they care about it yet, but I think Evans does. This is an opportunity for him to have a big day.
Yeah, I mean, barring an injury, God forbid, I think it's a lock. Evans is going to get his 1,000 because, well, if it's close near the end, they'll make sure he gets it.
Well, what's interesting to me, and this is a subject I was going to ask Canales about, but some other people got him to sort of talk around the periphery of it. Godwin and Evans were targeted, if I recall correctly, a total of 4 times in the first half against Houston. And to me, that borders on those guys are not priorities in the offense. That's what that tells me. Either that or Canales doesn't know how to scheme these guys open. I mean, Canales ought to know, you know, we saw it with Buffalo. We saw it to a degree with Houston. Teams are priority, or defenses, I should say. They want to take Evans Godwin out of the game. They're not scared about Trey Palmer. They're not scared about Devin Tompkins. They're not really concerned about Kate Otten. They are concerned about Godwin and Evans. They figured they could take those two guys out. They got a hell of a chance to win. Okay, Dave Canales, you should know this. So find a way to scheme those guys open. Good coordinators do that.
Lee, it brings me up to a point that I'm a little sensitive about because, Lee, you and I, we remember the great Al Davis. And not the Al Davis of the final 10 years of his life. When he lost his weight, we remember vintage Al Davis, and Lee, he had so many great quotes. You know, the quarterback must go down hard within the first 10 minutes of game. Pride and poise, commitment to excellence. But Lee, one of the things that always got to me in an Al Davis interview, we don't take what the defense gives us; we take what we want. Remember that, Lee? That's a great quote, and it says all you need to know about the Raiders. When they were elite, we take what we want. And I don't think the Bucs do that, Lee. They don't take what they want. They look over the defense, and I don't care if somebody's trying to cover Mike Evans. Mike Evans is the potential Hall of Fame player. I'm throwing to Mike Evans. Chris Godwin disappeared last week. What happened? He's too good to disappear.
Thank you.
So I'm with you. 4 targets. In the first half, that's a disgrace, Lee.
The run game has been a big emphasis to talk. They finally got it going, it looks like, the last couple weeks. People were screaming and howling and bellyaching and braying about interior blocking. And we've both discussed, all 3 of us have discussed that, you know, if you're going to have a run game, you need a blocking tight end. That's not Kate Otten. Ira, how much of a difference or how much of an impact has it been that a good blocker like Godwin is no longer playing in the slot?
I think it's having an effect because I think it would help some of the running backs get to the second level. All it takes is one key block to spring somebody loose. I think it's significant. You know, changing Godwin's position has been a plus maybe in some areas, but I think overall, Lee, I don't think it's really worked out. I love him in the slot. Not a lot of guys can do what he can from the slot. I wouldn't be tinkering with Chris Godwin. I would leave him where he's been so effective during his entire career.
Yeah, he's been blocking a little bit, but not as much. Yeah, you know, different setup. But, you know, lots to watch for this week. You know, the crazy thing is, and we've said it before, the run game, the last 3 games, I believe it's at 3.6 yards a carry in the last 3 games, and we're talking about allegedly huge improvement. You know, that it's just we've all lost our minds with this run game. Just go out there and run decently And we'll all know that, that's for real. A lot of too many negative runs in that game. And hopefully they'll straighten it out here in a more consistent performance. I don't expect 37 points, Ira. Neither do you. But I think they could be more consistent and put up a few touchdowns and a field goal and win this thing. We can only hope. Otherwise, we will have some doomsday podcasts later this week. If that doomsday comes around to your house, Ira, you know what to do. You call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7. They will come out and evaluate your property free. Whatever's going on there, fire, flood, mold, storm damage. And don't call your insurance company first. Call them. And if you need their services, they'll work with you to make sure insurance pays you what you have coming and you do not get ripped off. When you call Florida's Elite Restoration, mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan. And if you end up needing their services, you'll get $500 back in the form of money for your deductible or just cash back. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, which presents all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. See those Black Friday deals now at BillCurryFord.com. Don't miss out. BillCurryFord.com. And as we mentioned before, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Sages podcast, Big Storm Beer. And then we can also talk about your newfound fame, Ira, because we've talked here in the past about Bill Belichick being the next Bucks head coach. And Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, apparently he's been monitoring the podcast for months. Latched on to that this week and his obsession with Belichick's next stop. But hopefully we're not talking about that on Monday. Sage, I want to remind everybody to listen to the Best in Class podcast with Sean Sullivan. New episode just dropped. He is our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru and follows young players around the league. And always with a little side order of Buccaneers ranting, which is fun. Sean Sullivan, GM Bill Curry Ford. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you at all times. $500 to order a new vehicle. He's going to hand you a gift card to do that. BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira's work. So, Sage, be well. Just rest up for your dining and good luck with the hot tub. No pictures.
Let's hope there's a win out there for the home team on Sunday and we can have an upbeat podcast next week.